This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, May 4th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, the return of the Environmental Almanac and a look at why bicycling is not just a good way of reducing pollution, but a good way of keeping fit. We'll have the forecast as well for the weekend, coming up with meteorologist Jay Searle's forecast, and we'll have first a look at today's news. Once again, Illinois lawmakers left Springfield this week without taking action to give electric customers relief from high power bills. Krista Kukowski reports.
Republican Representative Jim Watson says it's unfortunate that he has to return to Jacksonville and tell his constituents that lawmakers didn't vote on a measure that could bring costs down. Electric rates rose dramatically for Ameren and Commonwealth Edison customers after a 10-year rate freeze ended in January. Watson says another week has gone by without any change.
This is the most important issue facing this state right now, economically. In my district, we've had food banks that have seen a 25% increase in business because we're not doing our job.
Speaker of the House Michael Madigan and Senate President Emil Jones, along with other lawmakers, met several days this week to discuss the issue. But it doesn't seem as if they reached a resolution during the talks. Many lawmakers say people in their districts are constantly stopping them to ask when something will be done. They say it's embarrassing that they still don't have answers. I'm Krista Kukowski.
The president of the Illinois Senate, Emil Jones, says there's no conflict of interest for him on the issue of electric rates, even though a published report yesterday found his stepson has a contract with Commonwealth Edison's parent company. Sean Crawford has more.
Jones says he was unaware the computer consulting firm his stepson owns was doing work for Exelon Corporation. Jones says he never keeps tabs on his stepson's clients.
He did well. He set up his own business. He's done quite well, so I'm very proud of him.
But the report published in the Chicago Sun-Times this week comes at the same time Jones is embroiled in a debate over whether to provide rate relief to electric customers. Jones is sided with ComEd, refusing to move legislation to roll back the utility's rates. He says that issue and his stepson's work have no connection. Jones met with other Senate Democrats behind closed doors after the newspaper story came out in what was described by some lawmakers as a heated discussion. Jones has faced other controversies this year after it was discovered his wife and son both got pay raises in their state jobs, his wife's salary going up by more than $70,000. I'm Sean Crawford.
The end of Illinois' freeze on power rates has resulted in more than 150 Champaign area business owners and others finding an alternate source. We have that story from AM 580's Jeff Bossert.
The startup of the Champaign County Chamber of Commerce's electricity co-op has seen a diverse list of members, ranging from churches to restaurants to a consulting firm. Habib Habib, president and CEO of Benefit Planning Consultants of Champaign, says the first of the year brought Ameren bills that were similar to what residential customers received.
As soon as January's bill came, our bill was 49% higher than last year. And we knew we needed to do something. We knew that it's taken a chance joining a co-op. But typically, a co-op would, if you're in the right hands, would seek volume purchasing.
The Champaign County Chamber completed its bid process last week. President and CEO Laura Weiss says the supplier, Strategic Energy, secured an average savings of just over 7%.
They went back and they were able to get a reading for each of the businesses' meters for the past year so that we have a good, accurate number for each business in terms of what their usage is.
Weiss says a rate of just under 7 cents per kilowatt hour will be locked in for 3 years. The electricity co-op is a partnership with Chambers of Commerce in Decatur and Peoria. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
An autopsy is set for today on the body of a construction worker killed in a highway crash on U.S. 45 in Savoy yesterday. Police say 54-year-old Stephen Hartrick's paving machine was hit from behind by a box truck who told police he was changing lanes in a construction zone south of Windsor Road. Police haven't issued any tickets but are still investigating the crash. A man who died in Indiana this morning by lethal injection for killing a 77-year-old man during a burglary more than two decades ago told people yesterday that he'd found peace. In his final statement, David Leon Woods said he had found peace through Jesus and told the family of Juan Plasencia that he had remorse for what he'd done. Gene Plasencia, one of the victim's sons, says he can get on with his life now that Woods has been executed. Five members of the Plasencia family attended the execution in Michigan City, Indiana. They were the first to witness an execution under an Indiana law that allows a victim's family to do so. Voters would choose not just their first choice of political candidates, but their second and third choices under a voting system that some people would like to see in Urbana. Durrell Cruz is organizing an effort to get instant runoff voting on a referendum ballot next spring. It would apply to races for Urbana mayor, clerk, and city council. Cruz says in any given race, voters would rank their preferred candidates, and if one candidate doesn't get enough first-place votes for a majority, then an automatic runoff would take place using the other votes. Cruz hopes Urbana voters would set a precedent by approving the system.
And then there would be a little bit of a history or an example for other communities to see the benefits of it, and hopefully, as a result, other people would realize that this particular method of voting, although not perfect, certainly is better than a single plurality vote.
Supporters of instant runoff voting believe it would create a clear winner and give a boost to all candidates, not just those from the two major parties. Last month, voters in Springfield approved the system for overseas voters who often can't get general election ballots to them in time. For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. After a bit of a hiatus, the Environmental Almanac is back, and in this week's Environmental Almanac, Rob Cantor suggests a way to save one kind of energy by using another that has lots of side benefits.
Between $3 a gallon gas and mounting concern over climate change, more and more people are looking for ways to burn less fuel as they commute. In this quest, we often plow straight ahead to new technologies, hybrid cars now, hydrogen-powered cars in the future. But you know, I bet you've already got a vehicle in your garage that can outgreen any new car, a vehicle that'll get you from point A to point B quickly and efficiently using century-old technology. I mean your bike, of course. I've been commuting by bike in Champaign-Urbana for just over 20 years now, and I've found that there are really very few days when taking the bike to work isn't my best option. I don't ride in thunderstorms or when snow and ice make the roads hazardous. Otherwise, the weather doesn't present many obstacles that can't be overcome with the right clothing. And the flat terrain means you never have to pedal all that hard. Sometimes when I'm biking, I'll stop to talk with friends or colleagues who comment on the environmental virtue of not driving. But you know what? I don't bike because it's virtuous. I bike because I like to. On my bike, I'm able to listen for birds all the way to work, and if I hear something interesting, I can pull over to take a look. I don't need to make time in my day to exercise, because I do that as I commute. When I get to work on the U of I campus, I park right outside of the door to my building and pay no money for the privilege. Aside from other bicyclists, who else does that? I suppose there are plenty of reasons for people not to use bikes for commuting, but I suspect that the most significant one is automobile traffic. People fear being hit by a car while riding a bike, so they hop into a car instead. The thing is, with well-designed roadways, bicycle commuting need not be dangerous, and cyclists can do much to promote their own welfare. In order to enjoy commuting by bike, you need to claim for yourself a place on the road. There are plenty of web pages and books that provide instructions about how to do this, but the main idea here is really not that complicated. As a bicyclist, you are not in the way of traffic, you are traffic. You should operate your bike as a vehicle and expect others using the roadway to treat you as one. This means you use lights when lights are needed, you signal your turns, and you obey other traffic laws as you do in a car. You turn left from the left turn lane, you don't pass on the right, and you don't ride on the sidewalk. In short, you assert yourself and behave predictably. Now, asserting yourself need not include riding on the busiest streets in town at the busiest times of day. One of the great pleasures of bicycle commuting is developing routes that allow you to enjoy the journey. If you're interested in touching base with others in our community who want to promote bicycle commuting, check out ChampaignCountyBikes.org. Their goal is to make Champaign County the most bicyclist-friendly county in the Midwest. This coming Sunday, May 6th, they will host their first-ever bicycle festival at Hessel Park in Champaign from 1 to 4 p.m. Details about this event are available on the web at champaigncountybikes.org.
Rob Cantor is a writer with the University of Illinois Environmental Council. To find out more about Environmental Almanac or listen to it again, you can follow the links on our website at will.uiuc.edu. Support for the Environmental Almanac comes from the U of I Department of Kinesiology. We can't shake the threat of rain out of our forecast for today or tomorrow. The end of the weekend, though, looks a little bit drier, according to meteorologist Jay Searles. The forecast for today across the two states, showers and thunderstorms are likely across Illinois. They'll be a little more scattered in Indiana, and highs today will reach from the upper 60s, where the rain is most likely in Illinois, to the lower 70s across the state of Indiana. For tonight, in Illinois and southern Indiana, mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms, but elsewhere partly to mostly cloudy, and lows ranging from 46 north to 63 in the far south. For tomorrow, mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms. Saturday's highs will range from 60 along the Chicago lakefront to around 80 in the south. It'll be improving in Champaign-Urbana for Sunday, though, with a high temperature of 75 and mainly sunny skies. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, May 4th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.